I don't know if it's the age group I work with, but there's always a subject that keeps coming up and coming up, and that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. And that is a subject that we need Christ's perspective on, because Christ's perspective is not only different than the world, it's also different sometimes in the Christian culture. And that's what I want to address today. We're going to, next slide, please. So, Matthew 5, 21 to 24. As you may guess, I work with a lot of boys. You have heard that it's said to the ancients, you were told, do not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to your brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fires of hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. In case you haven't figured out, I want to talk about anger and emotion in general. Because dealing with the young boys, as soon as you're angry with him, it's like you've already murdered him. I usually get the look where they're thinking, well, that's unreasonable. I get angry at my friends all the time. That's unreasonable that I should be held to that high of standard. But what is the real issue here? Next slide, please. And I'm going to go out on a limb for a bit, but bear with me, and say that the anger is not the issue. Because in Ephesians 4:26, be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. I'm going to say anger. These are the exact same words in Greek. This is not the issue. It's not the emotion of anger that is the issue here that Jesus is addressing. And stepping back, we're going to start at the ground up. Next slide, please. The call of the Christian and the way we were created was, therefore be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5:4-8. This is where we need to start, because Christ came to live the life we were supposed to live. And this is why I'm going to state that anger may not be the issue, because the emotion of anger is something that we see displayed in God and sometimes even in Christ. Next slide, please. We were created in God's image, and God displays things to us throughout the scriptures. Love, Isaiah 43 and John 3:16, are specific examples where God says to us, I am love, I am loving. Joy, John 15:7, God says, I am joyful over seeing what Jesus has become. Pleased, this is my son who I am well pleased in. These are all emotions that we don't generally have a problem with relating to God. However, it's not the full picture, because in Matthew 26:33, Jesus says, I am grieved to the point of death. I am so sad about what I know is waiting for me. This happens in the Garden of Gethsemane. I am so grieved about this betrayal and this thing I am going towards, that I am to the point of death. Deep, deep sadness. Anger, we don't see this displayed a lot in the life of Jesus per se. We see this throughout the Old Testament. God's anger was kindled towards Israel and towards other nations, towards sin in general. So to say anger is a part of God is correct, because God himself says that. Now, keep in mind, the way God feels is so much different than the way we feel, which is why I've tried to keep this specifically to Jesus, because Jesus is our example of how we are to live. And that's why I'm going to spend some time looking at zealous, because this is an emotion that Jesus felt and displayed in John 2:15. Next slide, please. So, the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated by their tables. And he made a score of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. He poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables, and those who were selling doves, he said, take these things away and stop making my father's house a place of business. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for my house will consume me. This is the one time Jesus gets close to displaying something that we would classify as anger, and it's a really important thing. Next slide, please. Zeal in this case is translated as zeal or jealousy. Jealousy for God's house consumes me. God says, I am a jealous God. I will not tolerate evil in my people. And Jesus could not tolerate what he saw going on in the temple. In fact, the root of this word is to boil, to be hot. What he saw made him boil. And what did he do? Well, he got a rope, he turned it into a whip, and then he drove everyone else out. Let's modernize this a little bit just for us to help picture what happened. Let's say over in that back corner, we opened a small coffee bar, because let's face it, coffee helps us worship. We're all addicted to it. So we open a little cafe over there. It makes a little bit of noise, but you know, only the people who are late have to sit in that corner, so it's really their own fault for being less holy than us. This is what the mindset of Israel was, because all this business was taking part in the Gentile section. No business. Far too holy for us good Israelites. Nothing can go in there. But where the Gentiles worship, those people who are always late, they can go to the back corner. It will disturb them a little bit, but you know what? They deserve it. Now someone comes in, we know him as a bit of a free thinker radical, with a whip to drive away the barista, take the cappuccino machine and chuck it on the ground, rip open the till and dump the money out. How many of you have already dialed 911? This is what Jesus did in the temple, and the Pharisees' first question for him when they showed up there was, who has given you authority to do this? And Jesus never really addresses it because he had the authority. Zeal for my house will consume me. So what is the actual thing here? Because, next slide, if Christ displays what we in our culture have dictated as good emotions and what we in our culture has dictated as bad emotions, then there's a disconnect because what we consider culturally acceptable and what Jesus was actually saying. And this is something that's really interesting, and I'm going to go back even further in the scriptures to go to Psalms 4, 3-4. Next slide. This is a psalm that has multiple parts. This part is one of my favorites because, but you know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. This is talking about how the godly man acts. The Lord hears when I call to him. The godly man trembles and does not sin. He meditates in his heart upon his bed and be still. So these are two things the godly man does. He meditates on who God is, and he trembles and does not sin. This word tremble, next slide please, is one we don't have a good English word for. I know that because it's translated many different ways throughout the entire Old Testament. What I can tell you is that its literal meaning is to be agitated, quiver, quake, be excited, or perturbed. This word is always coupled throughout the Old Testament with extreme emotional feelings. This is a word that describes how Israel felt when they saw God's power save them. This describes how people felt when God's wrath fell upon them. This is a word used to describe how Samuel felt when Saul called his spirit up from the dead. It's the same word. And it means tremble. So how many of you can imagine trembling with emotion? How many of you have felt that extreme one way or the other? Working with the boys, I very often see trembling with anger. And I'm going to illustrate this a little bit by talking, let's back the age group up a little bit. I get that you were upset that your team went from winning to losing really badly. There's nothing wrong with being a little bit disappointed in that. What is wrong was the four-letter word you used to describe how you were feeling. I'm going to say that in most of the cases I have run into, the emotions in and of themselves weren't the problem. This is why we can have this psalm and Ephesians where it says, tremble with extreme emotion, but do not sin. Next slide, please. The godly can feel deeply and profoundly moved by emotions, emotions that are culturally accepted as good, and emotions that are culturally said are bad. God has not put a statement on the emotion, especially emotions that he demonstrates throughout Scripture. So where does these emotions transfer into sin? Where does this line come? Because this is what Christ is talking about, and this is Christ's new perspective that he's giving to his people in Matthew. Next slide, please. So, everyone knows sinful emotions bring on sinful action, that's wrong. You shall not commit murder. And if you commit murder, you're guilty. This is what Israel already knew and believed. But this is the step. But I say to you, anyone who is angry with his brother, anyone who has adopted an attitude of anger towards their brother, they are just as guilty. It becomes even clearer in further on in verses 27 and 28. You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Part two. It's not just what you do. It's the attitudes the emotions create or the thoughts they prompt. Now we have sin. This is the rectification here. Next slide, please. Tremble in anger, but do not sin. Do not allow the anger to create an attitude towards someone else or even just a personal attitude. Do not let it create an action, and do not let it create thoughts that are unholy. This is how we're supposed to be handling. And this is what Ephesians, next slide please, 4:26 says, be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Because let's face it, when we're in the midst of powerful emotions, we are vulnerable to bad decisions. This is why I say, most of the time, the emotion was not the issue. But let's face it, the more powerful the emotion, the harder it is to handle it in a way that honors God. This is why this scripture says, don't let the sun go down. Deal with this. Deal with it now. Do not continue worship. Leave your offering at the altar and go reconcile with your brother. Because the longer this bitterness, this anger is going around, the more damage it can cause, and the more likely something that is just an emotion will turn into sin. Next slide, please. And this slide is blank because I couldn't figure out a way to summarize this, and I can't, not even sure I can say it, but this is where we're going to go. Positive emotions we call good in our culture can lead to just as much destruction, if not more, than those we have put as negative. And I can't really figure out a better way to say that, because love, great emotion, we consider it culturally acceptable. How much sin has come out of love in our culture? I feel happy and joyful, and I don't even realize that I've been mean to the last 12 people, because I'm swept away with my own overpowering emotions. I may not know how to summarize this, but I have a great biblical illustration for you. Next slide, please. We get into 2 Samuel 16:1-6. Now David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went up with all the people with him to Baal-Judah to bring up the ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim. They placed the ark of God on a new cart that they might bring it up from the house of Abda, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahithub, the sons of Abner, were leading the new cart. So they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abner, which was on the hill, and Elihu, biblical names, was walking ahead of the ark. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments. But when they came to the threshold of Nakon, Uzzah reached out towards the ark of God and took hold of it, for the ox nearly upset it, and the anger of the Lord burned against him, and God struck him down for his irreverency, and he died there by the ark. This is the illustration of what I'm talking about. Swept away, trembling with celebration and jubilation for bringing the Ark of Covenant back to Israel, they didn't do their homework. They didn't do their add things up. They didn't do it the way God wanted them to do, creating sin and costing a young man his life. Emotions that we have labeled as bad usually are because it's the most obvious. But having worked with youth for quite a while and worked with teenagers, the most destruction I have ever seen caused are acts driven by good emotions. Zeal being one of the most dangerous of all. Because if it's not grounded in what God would have you do, you've just been swept away. You have trembled and sinned, instead of, as the godly man, tremble and do not sin. Next slide, please. So the question now moves into how. How do we not get swept away by something that in and of itself is not sinful? Well, 1 Corinthians tells us, therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you but what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. It's a temptation, just like anything else. Yes, nothing wrong with being tempted. Yielding to it is. And God has said he has made a method of escape. He has made a way out. And this is one of the messy things about this. I can't give you advice on, all right, these are the 12 things you need to do every time to make sure you don't get swept away. Because that's not the way life works. That's not the way our emotions work. Sometimes the littlest things can make us angry, and you know what? That's okay. Just don't sin when you're angry. I stub my toe, and I'm angry all the time. Now, kicking Dustin because I stubbed my toe, now we have sin. So what are the escapes that God has laid before us? Well, I'm going to give you two things primarily, and then the three different ways it'll most likely play out. The two things that we need to do, next slide please, start with prayer. Because prayer, Psalms 32:16, therefore, let anyone who is godly pray to you in times when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they will not reach him. Prayer to God so that the wave of emotion does not sweep you away. Prayer is where Jesus went in the garden when he was grieved unto death. Prayer. And this is something I say always, no matter what we're trembling with. Prayer is the first and probably one of the greatest steps. It's where Jesus went, and it's what he has left us behind to emulate. The next one that I'm going to say is almost always something to go right to immediately is the Word of God. It's sharper than two-edged sword, able to cut the spirit, divide the bone and marrow. This is what the metaphor is, a blade so sharp that it can cut right through everything, that all the clutter, to cut at what's really going on. It's also where Jesus went when he was under temptation from Satan in Matthew. Being tempted by Satan himself, he went straight to Scripture. These are the two fundamental places I recommend and that Jesus shows us to go to when we are trembling with emotion. And usually this will lead to one of three outcomes. Next slide, please. A literal escape. 2 Timothy 2:20. Now flee from your lustful pursuit and pursue righteousness. Sometimes when these temptations, when we're trembling, getting out of the situation is what God has commanded us to do. Just not be there. If you're about to blow your stack, just take a step back, excuse yourself. Get out. That's one of two ways this will, three ways this could play out. The next, be still, because there's something still there. And sometimes, honestly, we can't go anywhere. Grief is one of those ones that you can't escape that. If you're sad because something has happened, you can't escape that. Be still and know that I am God. That is the advice for there. And then the final one is the confrontation. And this is what we say Jesus do. Preach the word and be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. 2 Timothy 4:2. This is the three ways that usually this plays out, or some combination of the two, when we're dealing with powerful emotions. The literal escape, be still and know that God is God, or it's time to confront those things, like Jesus did in the temple, that we've been called to confront. Now, I wish I had more time to go through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, because that is where we need to go to learn how to confront in a way that shows Christ above all. Because I'm going to say, there was only once in all of Jesus' ministry where he needed a whip. So I'm going to say 99.99% of the times, we don't act out with whips when we have to confront something. You may be called to God for that. That's between you and him. But this is the thing. We need to learn to confront when we have to in a way that shows God. And that's the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. So before we run off, remember that. But what I want to neatly tie this up with is just the thought that, next slide please, it's not what you feel. Well, can you even see that? Okay. I'll have to change a different font next time. It's not what you feel, but what you do with it that creates righteousness and sin. It doesn't matter how good you feel about this project. If you don't handle those feelings well, you could be swept away into sin. It doesn't matter how mad you are. Don't be swept away with that and act properly. Because God says, be angry, but do not sin. Says, tremble with powerful emotions, but do not sin. It's not the feeling of the emotions that's the issue. It's how we handle them while we're feeling them that creates great righteousness and sometimes, unfortunately, great disasters. And that's the thought I want to leave you guys with today.